Welcome to Monday Morning Moments, a weekly podcast dedicated to helping you make the most of the moments in your life. I'm your host, Mike Van Hooser, and today we're going to be focused on how we respond in moments in our lives. In my book, Moments, Making Your Life Count for What Matters Most, we talked about 5 to 6 principles that you could rely on to make the most of the moments that you have in your life and really build momentum. And one of the principles in the book was responding in the moment. And I see this a lot of times in whether it's the Olympics or whether it's great sporting contests, whether it's basketball, a huge championship basketball game, or it's the Super Bowl, or a big presentation that you have to give, or maybe it's just a talk with your spouse or your kids about something. Being able to perform in the moment and respond when setbacks occur and respond to the moment is really key. And we see that the best peak performers are not only able to perform in the moment, but they're actually able to respond in the moment, and they prepare their responses in advance as well. It's really important, and we will have setbacks. We will have disappointments in our lives, and some of you may be going through a major crisis right now. But I'm going to talk to you about an acronym that I think will be very important on how to help you respond in the moment. So I'm very excited about this today and talking through this. When I was in college, I was a DJ, and I couldn't sing, but I loved music, and I looked for opportunities to explore that. I was always good, I think, at hearing sounds and putting beats together and stringing different songs along that would flow well together. And so that was a way that was a side job that I had and just getting through college. And always found like I had a musical ear to do that. Well, I was hosting a radio program, and I had the Tuesday night shift from 7 to 12 p.m. And like all radio stations, we had a certain format and an hourly schedule that defined the direction for the show. The schedule told us when to play station identifications, when to announce the news and weather, and when to play community service announcements or other sponsor-type announcements. And of course, we had a commercial-free segment where we played 20 minutes of nonstop music. Now, you get more than that on certain stations, and then you get a lot of commercials on others. I liked this segment the best because it gave me an opportunity to discover the synergy in music that we had strung together for a great segment and really looked forward to putting together some great songs. It also gave me a chance to take the occasional bathroom break, which is very necessary when you're hosting a 5-hour radio show, just as a side note. One of the worst fears that a DJ has is dead air. Nobody wants dead air. Not the listeners, not the station manager, not the sponsors, and certainly not the DJ. Dead air is that dreaded moment when you hear nothing on the radio. No music, no commercials, no news, no weather, no nothing. The silence of dead air can be deafening. As a DJ, you meticulously prepare and plan your every move so that dead air will never happen. And I was always rechecking things and checking the soundboard and making sure things were queued up to be able to play. And you constantly check that for levels and when the next song's going to be played. And you rehearse in your mind how the next segment will take place, what you will say, what you'll do, and how it will sound. One fateful summer night, I was coming up on our big segment for the hour, the 20 minutes of nonstop music and my favorite moment of the hour. We typically began this segment at 20 after the hour, and as the clock displayed 7:19:45, I believe, I rehearsed in my mind how this great moment was going to take place. And as the clock rolled 7:19:55, 56, 57, 58, 59, I launched into my most powerful and deep and booming DJ voice to announce the next segment. Well, the moment went down something like this. And now get ready for 20 minutes of nonstop music right here on your station for the best in contemporary music. As I relished in my achievement, I pushed play on the CD, thought, man, that was great. That was an incredible segment. I led into it well. Pushed play on what we had as CD players to play the next song. And the problem was that I forgot to do something I'd done 1,000 times before. I didn't increase the volume level for the song, and our listeners heard a big, fat nothing. So much for the 20 minutes of nonstop music that I had promised them. And I almost felt like I needed to come back and said, will you settle for 19 or 18 minutes? Because I messed up on that. I froze in the most important moment, wondering why I didn't hear any sound coming from the in-studio monitors. And I glanced down at the mixer at the levels and realized my error, that I had turned down the sound levels of what I had pushed play on. And so I immediately jumped toward the soundboard. I hurriedly cranked up the volume level, wiped the sweat from my brow, probably that I was sweating, and hoped that the audience thought it was just a long, quiet buildup to a crescendo in the song. And music came blaring on at that point in time when I cranked up the levels. Well, dead air is not good, and that was one of my most embarrassing moments. I've had a bunch of others as well. But dead air is not good, you know, on the air in that moment, but also in our lives. Nobody, none of you, want to have moments where the song of your life doesn't play. And I think valley moments represent dead air in our lives. The play button is pushed, but the volume level is at zero. And worse, sometimes it's below zero. No one wants to experience dead air in their lives. Not you, not your friends, not your family members, not your coworkers that you impact and influence, and not your spouse and kids, and certainly not you. Our lives, I think, represent a song, and it's a good analogy for us that we need to make sure that our songs are playing in our lives and through our lives, and that we're not creating dead air for ourselves and for those who are waiting to be impacted by you as a leader. And I think, you know, as a DJ, and I think about mixing songs together as a former DJ, that we need to mix a string of great moments together. And I want to give you a couple of things in responding to valley moments. And if you're going through one now or just kind of coasting along, going through the motions, here's an acronym that we use with our athletes and we also use in our business coaching that I think can help us focus on avoiding those long periods of dead air and truly responding in certain moments. The acronym is this, it's CAR, so C-A-R, and the C stands for choice, the A stands for attitude, and R stands for response. So we break that down and think about choice. It's important that we know we can choose. You know, in anything that we do, we can choose what we think about things or the perspective that we want to have. We obviously need to make the right choices in the moment, in the moments in our lives as well. And when we're in our valley, sometimes we feel like we don't have a choice and that we've taken a wrong path or found ourselves on a detour that we did not expect. And we've got to regain our bearings, lift our eyes up, trust that we will be led on the right path that pulls us up out of the valley. And a lot of that has to do with choices about what we do next and what we're thinking and what we focus on and what we choose to focus on. Regaining our bearings when we're in the midst of a valley moment often takes time to understand the context of our situation, its meaning, its significance in our lives. And this process does not necessarily involve answering the question why. I've seen it many times in people's lives as well as my own life. The very first question when we're in the midst of a setback is we want to ask the question why. Why did this happen? Why did this happen to me? Why did this happen to me? We put inflection on certain words in that sentence, and we just ask that over and over and over again. And there have been many moments in my life that I didn't discover the why until much later in life. Some moments I may never fully understand why I went through them. The hard thing is that when I was in the valley, or when I see people in the valley and have helped coach them through that, why was the most important question to me or to them at the time. Why is a question that can burn our hearts and sear our minds if we're not careful? And I'm not saying that we shouldn't have the freedom to ask this question and to understand the why. I think it's a very legitimate question, but sometimes it keeps us stuck in that moment. And we can't let that question of why bully us into a perpetual downward spiral that dominates our lives. And that's often what the question of why does. Why has the potential to do that? But I've found that there are more powerful questions that can help me, as well as people that I've worked with and coached, regain our bearings in the midst of a valley. I think, what is a better question? And specifically, what should I do in this moment? What's the next best right thing to do? And I think that moves us to action, thinking about understanding what's required of us, what should we do, What's one step that we can take in a positive way? Where is a better question than why as well. A lot of times, where should we go? What is the direction that we should take? Where does God want us to go in a certain moment? I've prayed that many times in my own life. Where do you want me to go? Maybe a setback is a way to regain my bearings and course correct, maybe on a way path that I was taking that was all about me and not about where I should be going next as far as my purpose and calling in life. Who is a better question a lot of times and why? And specifically, who do you want me to meet in the midst of this valley moment? Who should I meet? Who's maybe going through a similar valley moment that I can help and we can connect on some more productive questions to ask and ways that we can get through this together? But a lot of times that in the midst of a valley, we may meet people that we weren't going to meet when we were cruising along a different path. And I've found in my own life that there have been people that I've met because of a course correction or because of a misdirection maybe on my own part that I've met as a result of trying to get out of that. And I think who and understanding and being open to that, it gets us also focused off of ourselves and onto other people that we can encourage and that we can be encouraged by. How is another question as well. How should I respond? In other words, what's the testimony of being able to respond to this? And again, sometimes that's baby steps and just taking, you know, our next best step through that. But we want to make sure that we respond with energy and effort and humbleness and confidence and trust and faith that everything is going to be all right and that we're going to work our way through this. But just realizing that we have a choice can help redirect our energy and attention and allow us to discover answers to these questions that will help us persevere through the valley. And I think these questions, along with others, can help us redirect that energy and focus on productive things. But realizing you have a choice in life is really important, and it begins in our mind. We have an axiom in sports psychology that we've written about in blogs and also probably on some previous podcasts in which we coach our athletes to say, what you choose to focus on magnifies in size. And it's very important on it. It's not just what you focus on, but it's what you choose to focus on magnifies in size. For golfers that I've worked with in the past, a lot of times they'll see sand on the golf course and their mind and eyes will be drawn to that. And even if they say, I just want to avoid the sand, they hear a void really softly and sand really loudly. And if they choose to focus on the distraction, the sand, it will become as big as a beach in Maui or a beach in Galveston or Destin or wherever your place of vacation is and the beaches that you love to go. That sand trap can become so big in their minds because they're continuing to focus on it. And again, they have to realize I can choose to focus on something else, the target, the goal, what I'm trying to accomplish, what I need to do in this moment. So choices are very important. The A in CAR stands for attitude. Attitude can help or hinder you in the valley. And it can be your stumbling block or stepping stone, depending on how you use it. And I believe that attitude determines our outlook, and our outlook can affect our destiny. And I'm not just saying that we should grin and bear it when we're suffering through the most challenging times in our lives. The reality is that none of us can truly grin and bear it in our own strength, no matter how strong we think we are. I'm simply saying that we do have a choice, and we have a choice about the attitude that we want to have. I'm an optimist by nature, and I've spent my whole life looking for the art of the possible. And as I work with entrepreneurs and business leaders, I see that they get into, and people who are truly resilient and show, you know, a lot of mental toughness and grit, they get into possibility thinking very quickly in their lives. When something happens, they immediately don't just settle into why. They get into, okay, this has happened, that's a setback, but what's possible in this moment? How can I redirect around this moment? How can I respond to this? How can I mitigate this risk? How can I really get into focusing back on what I need to get back on track on? And when they think about the art of the possible, that's really important because it gets them into more productive paths and more productive answers to questions that they have. I've looked at the art of the possible my whole life. In the depths of my parents' divorce, when we were going through that, and I was five and was able to figure out what's possible and understand, you know, what God wanted to do in my life, even though my dad had made a choice to walk away from our family. I've looked at the art of the possible. As we've had trials in pregnancy and, you know, in the midst of a miscarriage or my wife's first pregnancy, and then seeing us have five healthy boys after that. I've looked at the art of the possible in the valley of a summer where my grandmother had a stroke and my grandfather's demise from cancer eventually led to his death. And there have been all kinds of things that I look back and I've dealt with, but I've always tried to look at the art of the possible and turning negatives into positives and discovering opportunity in the center of challenges. And I believe that that's what attitude is all about. It's looking at that. It's looking at how can we turn negatives into positives and how can we discover the opportunity in the center of a challenge that we face. I think we think often that, you know, great attitude is a syrupy concept. You know, it's something that's fluffy. But I have found that attitude can be a real and dynamic activator in your life. Great attitudes, you know, don't involve being fake or putting on your happy face, whatever that is, just because you think you need to. Great attitudes involve being authentic and being in touch with your soul. And I think that God created us and said, you know, I want people with great attitudes. I don't think he created the world and said, I'll create some people who have horrible attitudes or cranky every day, complain about everything and anything, and never discover the truth about who they are and who they can become. You know, we get to that place on our own. That was not God's intention as he created the world and created you and me. And so I think in thinking about that, we need to make sure that we're having an attitude that reflects gratefulness for who we are and what we have been blessed with. And that great attitude can allow us to persevere through valley moments in our lives as well. We can't do anything about maybe the trail that led us into a valley or what the path is going to be ahead, but we can, in the midst of that, focus on, you know, an attitude that will be productive and an attitude that we choose to focus on as well. And then the R stands for response. And I think the key question is here is this: how will you respond when you're in the valley? And sometimes our responses just erupt, you know, from us. But I think we need to make sure that, you know, we need to respond both from a mental perspective, a physical perspective, and an emotional perspective that reflects our true character. It's often said that, you know, competition or being in the heat of the fire reveals character. And wins reveal character, losses and setbacks reveal character. And we need to make sure in our words and our actions that we respond consistently from a strong character and from the character from an authentic place of who we truly are. And all of these are really important. You know, if I encourage when I'm coaching basketball or I've coached athletes who are basketball players, we often talk about runs and how teams will go on runs and another team might go up 8-0, you know, in the first quarter or on an 8-0 run or 10-0 run and score 10 straight points and suddenly we're down. Well, it's how we respond in that moment, knowing that we have a choice to respond in the moment and that there's still time left in the game and that we have to make a response and that we can go on a similar run just by doing basic things. And again, it's not just the concept of, hey, I need to respond in the moment, but it's thinking through what should be my response. And most of the time I've found that those are process-oriented things that we have control over that will allow us to get back into the game, whatever that game is, being a sporting contest we're playing in, a competition, a race, or just in the game of life of how we're responding. And it could be just bringing energy and effort to what we do. It could be being more organized. It could be making the right choices. It could be, again, choosing to focus on possibilities and then acting on that. It could be reaching out to people who can, you know, provide leadership and encouragement in our lives. Whatever that is, that's a key principle. And this idea of CAR is important. The choices, the attitude, and response that you have in a split-second moment is going to impact bigger areas of time. Sometimes I'll go to Starbucks and I'll, you know, get my favorite drink. It's a extra hot mocha, and I love getting that. But if I was to get that and be going to a client site that day and somebody bumped into me and knocked the spill the mocha on myself, I could seethe and sulk about that moment all day long and think about, you know, what had happened and let that cloud my whole day. Or I could, you know, give grace to that person in the moment, forgive them and laugh about it and clean myself up best I could or go home and change and then make the best of the rest of the day. And I see so many people who get trapped by earlier moments or valley moments in their lives, and they're still reliving that moment and allowing that moment to affect bigger moments in time. And again, the choices and attitude that and response that we have in those split-second moments can impact how we're going to live our lives in the bigger moments in our lives in the rest of the day. And we need to make sure that those are just blips on the radar for us, that we truly respond. And so talking about this principle, just to round out our conversation for this podcast, responding in the moment is important. Life happens. Circumstances beyond our control will crash into our lives. Responding in the moment is one of the most important principles when you face a difficult time in your life. Once you've considered your choices and determined your attitude, your response focuses your direction. And I think responding in the moment is taking one step at a time. Responding in the moment is asking the question, what is the most important thing I can do in this moment? And then going out and doing it. Responding in the moment centers around having perspective. We must gain or sometimes regain perspective to truly respond in the right way in any given moment, especially the lowest moments in our lives. I'll close with this story. Some of you have heard me tell this story before, but the date was June 1st, 2005, and the Houston Chronicle had published a photo of a tombstone with the following headline. And it said, "Rest in peace, Astro season, April 5th, 2005, June 1st, 2005. And the subtitle there was, there were 111 games left to go in the season, but yet the Houston newspaper, along with many of the Astros fans, had written their team off and left them for dead. The record fell to 15-30. So on June 1st, 2005, their record was 15-30, and hope was nowhere to be found. And the guys were down. And again, they had the team, the paper, and the fans, and probably other teams had written them off. And I got a call from a friend of mine to help co-lead a Bible study with them and start investing in some of the players' lives, both from a spiritual context, but also just from a mental and sports performance context as well. And my first thought is I had nothing to say to a group of guys who must have been despondent given all the turmoil that was surrounding them. I thought the last thing that these guys wanted was someone who they didn't know coming in and telling them, hey, everything's going to be okay. It's all okay. Everything was not okay in that moment, especially when your paper is printing a giant tombstone article and signifying your death with three-fourths of the season left to play. Who wants to continue a season that could be lingering in the valley? And so, you know, in leading the Bible study, I agreed I didn't have anything to say, and we prayed that God would speak through us in that moment. And we met for about 2 to 3 times a month, and there were about 10 guys that were involved in, you know, those moments. And we focus both on building a spiritual foundation in lives and thinking about perspectives beyond baseball, but also about what, you know, they needed to learn in the midst of this valley moment and how they could have the right choices about what they focused on, how they could determine the right attitude that they needed to have to go out every day and have an I will mindset, and then to respond in the right way as well, day by day, at bat by at bat, just breaking it down as simple as possible and game by game. And they really developed a perspective to learn from the past, prepare for the future, and perform in the moment. And that is the working definition that we have of perspective. And the rest of the story is they rebounded from that discouragement and despair from a dismal record of 15-30 to finish with a record of 89-73. And that year, they won the National League Division Championship, they won the National League Championship Series, and they earned a trip to the World Series. Now, the World Series, they didn't do so well against the White Sox, but thankfully, the 2017 Astros have redeemed that and won the World Series and had a great, great year. But again, going from 15-30 to the World Series that year, They learned a lot about the process of responding in the moment and taking an active step of faith and willingness to go out every day and to persevere even through valley moments in their lives. And I realize that some of you listening to this podcast may be dealing with even more tragic things than just a 15 and 30 start to a baseball season. But whatever you're going through, I pray that you could use some of the things that we've talked about on this podcast to make the right choices and to consider the choices you have about what you focus on in your mind, what you choose to do every day to persevere and to course correct through a valley moment, that you know that you can have a good attitude in that, that you have people around you who encourage you around this as well. And then responding, to rise up, to have people that will hold you accountable to responding well to adversity and to develop that resilience and grit in your lives. And that truly leads us to, again, where we started, making sure that there's not dead air. I think there's a lot of times that trials come our way because there's an enemy. It feels like an enemy attacking us to live in fear of the things that we're going through and to get us distracted from what our purpose and calling is in life. And you were not intended to live in fear or to have dead air with the impact of your life. You were intended and created to have a purpose and plan for your life and an impact that goes way beyond you. And so my encouragement, my prayer for you is that you would use these principles to think about some of these things, to go beyond the adversity you're facing right now, and to make sure that people feel your leadership and the impact and encouragement and the platform with your strengths and opportunities and gifts to make a difference in the world that you lead and influence every day, and to make sure that you're not a DJ with dead air.